T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
Ah, yes. Welcome back, y'all. It's another night. I'm glad I get to spend it with y'all. It's Thursday. It's a good day. It's a good day. A little bumpy, a little rocky. It's been a little rocky week if y'all been following on my IG story. But we got a great show for you tonight. Question Night's up, as always, on our Loveline IG page. Next question is, how have traditional gender roles changed modern dating and relationships? It's a little bit of a thoughtful one, but it's an important one. And we're going to be talking about that concept later in the show, doing couples therapy with Rebecca Shida, because it's Thursday night, and that's what we do. Also, we're doing a little bad advice later in the show, and of course, getting a little freaky on them streets with Freak on the Streets. We all get to ask me some Q&A. Phone lines are always open, 833-LOVE-001, 833-LOVE-001. Don't be shy, give me a call. As we heard on the other show, you can even call and ask me out. I mean, you can call and ask questions, ask me out, hang out with me. Don't leave me sitting here lonely. But I'm not lonely. I got my crew. Tonight I'm wearing my gratitude shirt. I'm going to have to post a picture of it on the IG. The reason I'm wearing it today is I literally needed to remind myself, you know, you're having a rough week, you got some bad news, but there's always things to feel good about. Not that I shouldn't allow moments to kind of struggle more and have anxiety about the things that are problematic this week, but I also need to remind myself that I don't need to live in that space and I need to think about the other things that are going on. So I'm wearing a shirt that just says gratitude, but I'll post a picture of it. Or maybe I'll post a picture without it. Okay, so let's get into some news. I wish it was all positive stuff to share today. It's not necessarily. So Trace Lissette, she's a trans actress, really, really great. One of the people that's kind of starting to ask for more roles, and she's killing it. I honestly couldn't tell you what she's been in. I'm just very familiar with her as a person. She's a really good friend of a very good trans actress friend of mine. And I'm so out of touch with some of what's going on in pop culture, but I try. Basically though, she's in the news right now because of what happened on Tinder. So she sets up a Tinder profile, as one does, and she's super excited, saying like, look, I'm getting vulnerable. I'm going to get back into the dating world. I'm going on Tinder. And she sets up her profile. She goes to bed and she wakes up the next day and she gets a thing on her account saying your account has been banned. Now, she's done nothing problematic. So she basically sends a tweet to Twitter. Oh, she sends a tweet to Twitter. That's what you do. She sends a tweet to Tinder. And basically what happened is, it turns out, because a lot of people started responding, that a lot of trans women have had their profiles banned or disabled with no explanation. Ready for this one? And this breaks my heart. Because people that are transphobes, upon seeing their profiles, are flagging them as deceptive or fake, which are options for deceptive or fake profiles on Tinder. And Tinder is reporting them as spam and taking them down. Heartbreaking. Now, Tinder jumped in and they were like, listen, we spoke to Trace. Spokesperson from Tinder said, listen, the app is fundamentally supposed to be inclusive and accepting of all people. They have 50 gender identities and 9 sexual orientation options for choosers to choose. We recognize, they say, the transgender community faces challenges on Tinder, including unfairly being reported by potential matches, blah, 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 blah. Now, the problem is, though, is that the only solution that that really provides is that someone who's trans has to separate themselves out from being able to identify as male or female and has to choose other gender. And not everyone that's trans identifies as other gender. A lot of them identify as male or female, but that option's being removed and they're actually being herded into this identity that doesn't make sense for them. Where if they identify as male or female, that's what they want to choose. We have people marking them as deceptive or fake. That's heartbreaking. You know, it's hard enough in the world to be any kind of minority, racial, sexual, gender, class, whatever it is, body. But then you go on the dating app, all vulnerable, wanting to find love. And that's just another reminder of the difficulty of dating in the world. That's heartbreaking. This stuff just, yeah. So sticking with more depressing news. Organizers of self-defense classes have seen a massive rise in people that are LGBTQIA joining because there's a substantial increase in demand because of the rate of hate crimes. So in direct response, more classes are being put together, including workshops, and some of them are really zeroing in on the trauma that's related, and they're adapting their classes for people from the LGBTQIA community, women, and also violent crime survivors. And they're adding not just martial arts and self-defense, but they're also developing alongside with trauma-trained therapists levels that are compassionate and quality instruction that kind of fuses in a possible trauma response. So they're doing kind of wraparound services, which is good. It's not just self-defense. They're also looking at the impact of trauma. But again, it's heartbreaking that that's the solution, right? Instead of getting rid of guns or trying to reduce what's causing violence, we're just putting Band-Aids and kind of victim blame and saying, take self-defense. Or get a backpack that has that's bulletproof. Bulletproof backpacks are selling out in certain cities. That is not the solution. Okay, now we're going to land on something that I'm shaking my head at. And a lot of you might not agree with this, but, you know, that's okay. Mark Ronson, he's, I guess you'd call him a DJ, musician DJ. He came out as sapiosexual. Now, what that basically means is that you're mostly sexually oriented towards people based on their intelligence. Yeah, that's cool. Most of us are. But there's like, it's all over the news and in these gay publications. Mark Ronson comes out as sapiosexual, aka generally attracted to people based on their intelligence. How is that news? How is that meaningful? I don't know why that's important to people, but they're all geeking out on this. But there it is. Apparently, he also identifies as bi. That's cool. Do your thing. But sapiosexual is also tagged on there. Look, again, as I say all the time, I'm all about any form of normalization around diversity and creativity in terms of sexual orientation and gender and all that. I just don't understand how that's newsworthy, though. We all tend to say and report that we like smart people. I don't know. Anyway, maybe I'm just cranky tonight. I will always hold space for that possibility. Maybe if this was a different day, I'd be like, oh, that's phenomenal, Mark. I mean, Mark, you're a handsome man. So, you know, do your thing. You'll do fine out there in the world, especially when you claim to attract, you know, like all genders. All right, coming up next, we're going to be in a little couples therapy. Listening to Love Line, Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And now, of course, it's Thursday night, so it's time for a little couples therapy. We got, of course, Rebecca Sheeta with us. What's up, Rebecca?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So great night for you to be here. I was stumbling around and I found an article. And every now and then, if you've ever been like on Facebook, actually, who am I kidding? I follow you on Facebook. Yes, you get triggered a lot and you have some really interesting posts where you're like, what the heck? So this is one of those for me. Do you remember Fantasia Barrino?
Yes.
Okay. She's still kicking around.
She's really talented.
Yeah, I didn't know she's still going. So she was on a morning talk show recently, and she basically was telling people why they can't find a man. And what was really disturbing to me was the old school problematic traditional gender role she was saying, or what we need to get back to, and I'm going to quote her. She says, we need more men to stand up and lead the way. Most women, she says, are trying to be the leader, and that, she says, is why you can't find a man. She also added that women can take the lead in the home, and that when they don't, it's a generational curse when society tries to put that upon men, because women need to stand up and be the mother and let the father be the provider. It gets better. She then says, women have to learn how to submit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, setting back female empowerment. Yeah, decades. So what do you think when you hear that, that people are still operating from that kind of framework?
It makes me sad. I mean, yeah. It makes me sad, but it also makes me angry. It makes me think that we somehow are still continuing to assign certain characteristics to certain genders, and, right. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And it's like very rigid and rule-based, and that's not reality.
It's not reality. It's also like it's just not authentic. Like I'm always trying to work with people on embodying the characteristics or the traits that are honest for who they are, mm-hmm. and letting couples naturally find whatever balance they create when they come together. And often that's going to be opposite of what gender roles might demand.
Mm-hmm.
But how problematic to tell someone be opposite than how you are because that's what some people in society expect of you.
Right.
Or somehow relationships are falling apart because of that.
Yes. And I mean, I think that gives you a lot of information if you are in a session and someone has these rules. I mean, how did they get together in the first place? That's a bigger story. But, you know, when you see that, you are very clear on like, this is not a good fit. If one person is like, what? I mean, it just seems so ridiculous to still think this way.
So let me ask you a question. As someone who's divorced,
yes.
Do you think your marriage would have lasted had you submitted?
Well, I think the expectation of many men I've dated is I am the submissive Asian.
Right.
So,
right.
No, it would not have lasted. I don't think that was. In fact, I think that I probably carried a lot of the relationship. If we're looking at the male and female gender roles, you know, I think that was probably going on. So no, I don't think there was anything to do to save my marriage.
I couldn't. Oh, well, and that's again another topic that there's really nothing that could be done at that point for that marriage. I know for me, I couldn't imagine being on a date and someone starting to try to squeeze me into some kind of gendered expectation. How confining that has to be, but that's actually still standard for a lot of people.
Well, and I think women experience it a lot. I know. I think that they're the expectation of the one that I got a lot have gotten a lot is, oh, you must be wild, or oh, you never really talked so much about problems before. Like, you know, this idea of like, you are a woman, you are Asian, therefore this is what you'll be. You know, and it's maddening. It actually infuriates me.
So it's not just gendered, it's also race-based
too. I'm also very good at math.
Well, it's funny because as a white man, other than the gendered expectations, there's nothing race-based placed upon me. It's like whiteness is kind of a blank slate.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's any
whiteness
white
is also
for white
probably
men.
Equals what? Strength, superiority, a lot of that too. But as a woman and being Asian, and I mean, there's also, I'm half white, but that's not what people see typically.
Right.
They see the Asian.
You read
part.
Asian.
I read Asian, right? So that goes with a lot of things. You'll be submissive, you'll be a certain way in bed, you know, all of that goes with it.
And what's interesting
I'll cook some really good Japanese food, you know, that kind of thing.
Have you had people assume that?
That I'll, yeah. I think
food.
So, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Or if I get like, you know, I'm not fun and wild, then I have this other side to me that's like softer or has, wants to talk about issues or whatever. That isn't what they bargained for.
And I know you've dated online before.
Oh,
I feel like online is where people are a little more flagrant and overt about some of the stereotypes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I 100% believe that. I think because of the accessibility and the disposability and the profiles, it's like little like sound bites.
Yeah.
You know, it I think it reads that for sure.
Yeah. And that's why, again, I always say, I think like health lives more in authenticity, and that often to be your true, full, healthy self is to challenge and live outside of all the gender norms and expectations. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think gender is such a trauma. I see very little value in subscribing to any concept of it. I can't wait to get to a time where we don't use that as a signifier anymore. And we're so getting there, right? As the younger generations are just blurring the lines with like being genderqueer and non-binary and all these terms that just keep shredding away at it until we get to a place where none of them make any sense anymore because there's just too many labels. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of get rid of it all.
I think that would be great because I think the way that people have read me is very male, I think, because that I'm strong or I'm outspoken. And so I think it's used as a way to sort of put me down because I'm not, well, maybe not feminine enough.
And yet it's your best quality. I mean, I think like that's what I value in you as a person I like to spend time around. But I also think that that's probably one of the things that makes you good as a therapist is those elements that culture wants to shame.
Mm-hmm. Or sees as manly.
Yeah. And again, like most of my life, I've met a lot of the requirements that are expected upon me in terms of gender and my whiteness. And so it's not something I had to really struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of sitting outside of expectations in those ways.
Right.
Okay. We're going to take a little break. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk about how much responsibility a partner should have for their other's feelings. You're listening to Love Line, Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. It's time for some more couples therapy. So we've got Rebecca Sheeta with us. So, you know, one of the things I see in my office with couples that I'm working with is this whole concept of like, I'm triggered. And a lot of people think that, let me say it like this. Healthy relationships, you do have empathy and care for how you impact your partner. You do take into consideration the behaviors, things you're saying, and when they tell you something's upsetting you. I want people to sit for a moment, process that, take that into account. But I think there's this misunderstanding that when you say something triggers you, that your partner should immediately make sure it's never done again, and they're not given an opportunity to really process out whether or not that's okay. Because sometimes it's okay, right? Your triggers and that concept of being triggered is really about you knowing yourself better, so to work with yourself better. Like your triggers are yours to deal with, right? And I want your partner to have sensitivity to that, but it's not a demand for them to never do that behavior again.
actually, there's an opportunity for growth in those things, too, because, you know, you and I know this so well that couples have the same argument typically over and over again. And so it's a great, if you're dealing with it, it's a great way to dive in and look at a particular situation. It's really about the process and not the content. So, but those are really important things to work through in therapy. And yes, you're going to upset your partner sometime, and that's okay.
And that's hard, I think, for some people to understand, that like it's okay for them to be like, I'm sorry that upset you, but I'm actually okay with continuing on with this. And this is not the standard example, but this has been one thing that has triggered people powerfully, is when one of the partners says, look, I want to focus more on my social life, and that's not always going to include you. And they'll say something like, you know, Friday night's going to be girls' night. See ya. Or, you know, Tuesday night I'm going out with the boys. It's boys' night. And the partner's like, well, that makes me uncomfortable. And the partner says, and that's okay. That's still something I'm going to do and I need to do. Mm-hmm. But I think there's this idea that in couples, with couples, that everything always has to be comfortable for everyone.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that when you're working with a couple?
You mean the idea of the responsibility portion, or?
Or just getting better and more comfortable with the idea that you're going to be made uncomfortable sometimes.
I think also the concept, too, of not everything is a battle. You know, like, you also want to measure things that are worth really being upset about and things that aren't. And if you're getting upset about things that are kind of like you just said, like a girl's night or a guy's night, then we need to look more deeply at what are your insecurities, are there controlling aspects of your personality or behavior, things that we need to work on and work through so that you can regulate your emotions more effectively.
Oh, I love that more, right? Yeah, I like that. That's that point of entry where you look at, what is it about me? What is it that I can learn about myself in this moment? Because you're right. Wanting your partner to change their behavior so you're not ever made uncomfortable, control, insecurity.
Absolute control.
And that's where you get to learn that you have some work to do on that.
Right, absolutely. Like that. Yeah, for sure. I hope that people can have that kind of balance in a relationship, being with your partner 100% of the time. You know, I don't think it's particularly healthy, because you want to be able to have other relationships, other support, be able to let go and have someone come back and have that.
And it's hard because, you know, in the beginning of a relationship, people often want so much fusion, and they want, they never want to be separated. They never want to be apart. Right. And in the beginning that feels really good. And then that magical moment occurs where all of a sudden it goes from feeling really great to, I feel suffocated. I need a little space. Right. I've kind of avoided the rest of my life and I now need to reenter it. And for some partners, that transition's really difficult. Mm-hmm. They feel rejected. Mm-hmm. And I try to remind them, like, it's a healthy phase. It's a healthy step. You want your relationship to have some like dynamicism, and that can't occur if you are always together.
Right. I also think, I don't know if it's my age experience and being a therapist.
It's probably your
but
age.
It's probably my age, because I'm getting old. I'm going to be 50 in January.
I think everything's about my age these days. I'm like, it's just my age.
But when I hear things like what you're saying about the fusion, maybe in past years I would have been like, oh, how wonderful. But those are things that concern me when someone fuses, because you can lose yourself in a relationship. And although it's a yummy feeling, it's not always healthy.
I hate the word yummy.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what it is about that word.
I don't want to. I like saying
yummy
it.
Yummy is not a yummy to me.
No.
It's like a skeevy. I'm like, ugh.
Oh, it makes you
now,
do
some
that.
People don't like the word
it's
moist.
It's like moist.
Yeah.
Oh, jinx.
Yeah, I can handle moist more than I can handle yummy. Oh, that triggers me. Please don't ever say it again so I don't have to get triggered and regulate myself and deal with it.
Okay, that's
very insecure.
That's your problem, Chris. You're going to have to work through it. I'm sorry.
But I hear what you're saying. The older I get, I think I place more value in some of my autonomy and the parts of my life that are meaningful that are kind of a solo journey. Like, what's really valuable, and I've talked about this on air, you know, I'm trying to focus a lot personally on more self-care. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to advocate that for my clients. I'm always trying to examine, you know, how well I'm doing myself. And one of the things I realize is that a barometer that tells me how well I'm doing with that is how much time on the weekends I'm getting alone at a coffee shop, reading, writing, philosophizing, and just kind of developing that part of myself. And that's a solo journey. I can't do that with someone else. Mm-hmm. And I've often been in relationships where they have the fantasy of sleeping in and starting our mornings together and going to brunch. And that can't always work for me, because that's my time when I usually go to a coffee shop for a few hours. It's alone time. It's meditative. It's recharging. Mm. It's kind of a solo journey. And that's hard for some people. Why are you getting up and rushing out? And it's like, well, that's an important part of my autonomy. Like,
that's,
I was just with you all day, all night.
I'd love
we slept
to explore
together.
This more with you.
Yeah. How so? What part of it are
just
you?
Just that interesting piece of like, of you leaving and wondering about what is that about, is in terms of the self-care. Is it self-care or is it avoidance, running away? I don't know. That's just my head just started going.
Look at you trying to pathologize my self-care. Atta girl. That's why I love you.
Well, I love you so much.
Anyway, well, congratulations on the pole dancing.
Oh, I know, my gosh, no, yes.
None of our listeners are following you necessarily yet on your social media, but you just started pole dancing, so congratulations with that.
Thank you. It's wonderful. Empowering.
I love that for you.
But it also fits the submissive Asian.
It sure does, so careful with that one. So, of course, you'll be back with us next Thursday.
Yes, I will.
So, until then, where can people find you?
They can find me at www.rebeccaishida.com, or actually, my Instagram is hungrybecca, B-E-C-C-A.
Amazing. Delicious.
Delicious. Yummy. Oh, yummy. I'm sorry. I said it again.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into the DMs. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. We're back. We got our question of the night up on our Love Line IG page. Today's question is, how do you think traditional gender roles have changed in modern dating and relationships? It's a thoughtful one, but it's an important one. And we're kind of just talking about me and Rebecca. I mean, you know, that's why I love couples therapy with Rebecca. We kind of get all over the place. It's a little scattered. But we cover important stuff. Oh, you look at you nodding ahead over there. All right, but you know what, y'all? Time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. And we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. So I wanted to know what to do if you're in a relationship where you both are young, unsure of future career paths, or where you want to live. I mean, basically, that's everyone that's young, right? I think that's an important part of being young, is not needing the certainty of your career path or where you want to live. Like, I just want to kind of call that out. I think that's like a really valuable part of youth, is that time to explore. So don't panic and don't make that problematic that one isn't aware. You're not supposed to. I think your 20s and even early 30s are the time where you really start to develop and figure out what's going to be meaningful for you. And wherever you are in your 20s, don't necessarily assume that that's going to be where you will end up. I put a post about that on my social media that a lot of people found really powerful and meaningful, about how we have these concepts as to where we're supposed to be in our lives. And we look around where other people are at, you know, in our own age bracket, and we tend to kind of shame ourselves. And the post I wrote was, you're not behind in life. There's no timetable that we all must follow. It's made up. 7 billion people can't do everything in the same order. What's early? What's late? Compared to who? Don't beat yourself up for where you are. It's your schedule and everything is right on time. Focus on authenticity, not success. Don't believe that your worth and value is tied to how productive you are, how much money you make, or what you can purchase or consume. Everyone's journey is different. And that's kind of the key. Be where you are. I say that about dating. Don't date age appropriate, date you appropriate. You have to really lean into making decisions based on what makes sense to you. Every time you start comparing yourself based on where others are, based on your age, based on others that you went to school with or family members, you're stepping into ego and you're stepping out of truth. And so just hear me say that the journey for all of us is going to be different. So enjoy your youth. Don't be thinking about things like that. I also tell a lot of people, spend your 20s having a lot of sex and dating a lot of people. Don't get into long-term committed relationships in your 20s. You need to go through sexual, relational, developmental milestones, psychological milestones. And those are born out of trying out different careers, different educational paths, meeting different kinds of people, traveling, having different kinds of friend groups. So don't panic about that. But your question goes on to say, he pretty much says, he'll go wherever I go. And he'll support me whatever I want to do. And when I ask him about his, he says that he's fine not making money. He's not into school. And he'd be fine just living in the future as a husband and a stay-at-home dad. And then you said, in my future, though, I sort of saw two successful careers. What do you think? I think that you shouldn't have a plan. I think that whatever future vision you have is rooted again in your ego, what your anxiety tells you you need to be secure and safe and happy. You don't know, and you'll never know. And this person's open to following whatever's interesting to you. That's a really great partner. And I love that he, as a quote unquote male identified person, is wanting to stay home. Great. You know, if you want a very, you know, successful financial life, create that. You know, we can't depend on others to help us with that. And so I think it's beautiful, you know, be where you are. Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Coming up next, we're doing a little bad advice. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. It's questions about traditional gender roles and how they impact dating and relationships in the modern world. So weigh in on that. But right now, it's time for some bad advice.
And now, more bad advice.
Oh. Here we go.
It's such a womp womp, this segment. It's so good. It's so good. All right, y'all. So here we go. This is some bad advice. This is centered towards a lot of the advice that's given towards quote unquote women, people that are female identified femmes and women. Oh, this first one right out the gate hurts my soul, hurts my heart. It's kind of the basis of why I'm doing what I do. The first one, bad advice, is to play hard to get. Oh my goodness. Please, please. Playing super unavailable and difficult does not make interested, healthy people more interested. If you got to play a game to get someone, you're going to probably have to play a game to keep them. Find someone who's actually interested in you, and then you don't need to play hard to get. Please don't play hard to get. Why? Because as I say over and over, interested people like signs of interest. The kind of people that need to have to chase you, to want you, are not the kind of people you want to be with. So knock that stuff off. Find the people that are truly interested so you can just show up interested and all's well. Also, here's another one of the zingers that I cannot stand. The whole idea of waiting months and months to have sex. Let's break that one down. You gotta at some point explore all forms and levels of intimacy. Physical, affectional, sexual, social. You can start wherever you want. Because if there's an interest or compatibility outside of wherever you begin, they will stick around. So if you have sex right off the bat and you don't hear from them again, then it's good to know that all there was sexual compatibility or chemistry. Because if there's something longer, further, or more depth, or something more meaningful there, they're going to stick around. They're going to circle back. But at some point, you got to explore sexuality. Remember, first dates that are more conversational based, a coffee or dinner, that's great. But you can only find out so much about someone over coffee. Their favorite movie, their favorite color. You can assess some chemistry and compatibility, but sexuality tells you about their self-esteem, their body esteem, how much intimacy they want, closeness, all of those factors. And everything they do after orgasm also tells you what they're truly looking for relationally. Do they get up and run? Do they stick around? So sometimes getting sex out of the way in terms of exploring intimacy and compatibility lets you realize and find out how much more there really is there of interest and to keep it together. Another zinger is the bad advice of you'll attract the one solely by using things like the law of attraction. Just sit home making a vision board. Doesn't work like that, y'all. You have to. Here's the thing. You can't go out and just say, I'm going to find someone tonight. But what you can do is lay the conditions and create the conditions upon which someone can be found. You can meet someone. You got to go online. You got to go out in the world. You got to smile at people, flirt, be approachable, make eye contact. Sometimes go out alone, not always be huddled up in your squad, making you really hard to be approached. Some people sit at home on their couch watching television thinking, why am I not in a relationship? Because people that are single generally are so because they keep themselves single. Remember that one. Positive thinking is not going to get you much. Also, you'll meet someone when you aren't looking. That can be true. That can be true. But again, remember, it's easier when you're out in the world living your life to meet someone when you're not looking if, again, you're living in a world that has the conditions laid. Again, making eye contact, smiling at people, starting conversations, engaging in conversations. All those factors really, really, really matter. Another piece of bad advice is find out where people stand on commitment right away. Look, when we first meet someone, based on our historical dating habits, patterns, and history, we might not really feel like we're ready or open to something. But as we meet someone and we co-create something that might feel safer, more interesting, more dynamic, or realize, wow, there's a lot of chemistry here, people's interests and minds change. So remember, how someone is and what they're looking for when you meet them is just a starting point. You got to hold it a little lightly because, again, as you develop something, their interest and levels of, you know, comfort with compatibility and chemistry and commitment, all that shifts. Sorry, we're having fun tonight. Another piece of bad advice that cracks me up is the concept that men don't like smart women. I was literally looking at a meme, or I think it was actually an article where it said, men are frustrated or threatened by women that make more money. And the funny responses were, the hell we are. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not true. Someone that's confident and secure is going to be very open to someone who's intelligent or successful. And again, do you want to date, marry, or be in a relationship with someone who is threatened or made anxious because you are confident and competent out in the world? I hope not. It's backsliding a little bit. Don't seek that. This is one that I also don't like when they say, well, actually, this one I do agree with. You know, the best way to get over someone is to get on someone. You know, the studies do show that getting right back out and dating after a breakup leads to more levels of self-esteem and feeling desirable out in the world, that it's actually a really positive thing. So I'm not mad at that one. All right, coming up next, we're going to do a little Freak on the Streets and then Question of the Night. So you got some time to weigh in on that one. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Question of the Night's up on our Loveline G page. Tonight's question is about traditional gender norms. So weighing on that one, we'll be breaking that on down next. Right now, it's time for some Freak on the Streets.
Freak on the Streets.
All right, what you got?
Dr. Chris.
Hello.
My name is Eduardo.
Hello.
I'm from Puerto Rico, and
right.
I have a question relating to threesomes and three-ways and polyamory in general.
Okay.
So since I've only been in one relationship in my life, recently I am single, and I got involved with this couple, and we started like flirting and texting and sexting, and turns out that they want to involve me in their sex life and possibly their relationship.
Sure do.
But I'm nervous, and I would like some tips on this new journey. And is it normal to feel scared?
I love that you're framing it as a journey, because that's really what it is. Let me remind you, and I love that you're being vulnerable and saying, like, I'm scared. Are there any tips? It's supposed to be fun. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. I have to believe they're kind people. They're just trying to have some fun with you on a different level. You know, if you're going to someone's house to watch a movie or cook dinner or smoke or whatever you're doing, like, it's supposed to be fun. So go in there thinking that. The other thing is, a lot of people, coupled with that not having fun perspective, is they think that, you know, you got to make them happy and that you got to figure out like what they want. No, go in there saying, I'm going to have fun. I'm here for me to be turned on and enjoy myself. What do I want? What do I want to have happen? What do I want to ask for? What do I not want to have happen? What would turn me on? So take some time to think about that. If I'm going to go have sex with two other people, a couple, what would be hot to me? What would I want to see them do? What would I want us to do? What would I not want to have happen? And go in there and ask for that. But remember, it's supposed to be fun. And if you're not having fun, check in on what that's about. Is it not what you're looking for? Are things happening you're not interested in? But enjoy yourself. And if you have too much anxiety, don't do it. You know? Cool.
How do we go into 2020 with a open mind towards dating and a love life when you feel that you've been super jaded for most of your life?
Oh, that's a big question. Every future relationship pays the price of the ones before, right? We hold hope that things will be different, and they will be. They might not necessarily be better. I remind people that the next couple dating experiences could be worse or just as bad, but we keep doing it because there are some benefits and there's fun to be had in relationships. But yeah, it's really hard to not expect the worst again. I would say this, keep going. Right? Be open to the idea that there's a lot of good people out there. Be open to the idea that each date's going to be different. Don't go into dating expecting partnership or relationship. Go in because it's a process, and that when you're in the process, that promises that you'll stumble upon some people that are good. So don't go in thinking, I hope the next one is someone that I form something long-term with, because then you'll go in thinking it's a failure if you didn't. So stay in the process. And again, let's just make this the theme of the night. Have fun. So go on a date saying, you know what? I don't know what's going to come out of this. I don't know if I'm going to see them again. I don't know if we'll be in a relationship, but I'm going to get out of the house tonight. I'm going to try a new restaurant. I'm going to have some interesting conversation with this person. And that's all I have to expect of myself and the date. And if I walk away having done that, that was great. And if I see them again and we have a deeper connection, cool. And if not, that's okay too, because going out on dates is fun. And so dating is sometimes just about that, new experiences, new people. And you hope that in doing so, you'll stumble upon someone that you have deeper compatibility and chemistry with, and you form something longer with them, but maybe not. And that's okay too. So it's really just about like a reframe. It's like anything else, you know, you go see a bunch of bad movies and then you stop trusting the fact that good movies are made. Maybe that's a horrible analogy. I don't know. But anyway, stay in the process and seek nothing more than just new experiences, knowing that you'll stumble upon someone. Yeah, it's a numbers game. All right, coming up next, question of the night. It's on our Loveline OG page. So weighing on that, we'll be breaking that on down next. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back and it's time for question of the night.
Question of the night.
All right, tonight's question of the night. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Triggers some people. It's about traditional gender roles. Some people are so on the fence about this one. It's so fascinating. Some people are all about keeping it as it is. We were talking earlier during couples therapy about Fantasia Brino from American Idol talking about, oh my gosh, she's trying to push this backwards. She thinks woman needs to be a woman, a man needs to be a man, you know, and gosh, it's like all those amazing fathers that are now choosing to stay home and amazing women that are choosing to go be the primary breadwinner. I think that's awesome. People have to forget that gender is a social construction. It's not a real thing, right? There's hundreds upon hundreds of ways to express how you are in the world with your hair, your style, your personality, fashion. I mean, that's what gender is based on, is expression, presentation. And that's not a real thing. I mean, we look at the animal and plant kingdom, gender doesn't exist. They have sexes, but they have more than two sexes. We have more than two sexes. But we'll talk about that more in another show. So it's interesting when people want to hold us accountable to these archetypes, their metaphors. There's more than two, but people get really hung up on. They somehow think that a healthier family or children need, you know, a son needs a father. No, he doesn't. He needs caregivers that love him. You know, there's families that have no male figure and they raise really healthy children. You don't need a man to show someone how to be a man. You don't need to be a man. So let's see what y'all said. How has traditional gender roles changed modern dating relationships? Someone said women still want men to pay for everything, but men aren't making enough money to support like that. Not in this economy. No one should expect anyone to pay for everything. Everyone should pay what they can, right? Someone said, as a man, I do a lot of cooking, cleaning because my girlfriend works really long days, so I try to make her life as easy as possible. Yeah, that's stunning. That's called care and love. Anyone that has the time and capacity should weigh in and put more effort and labor in than those that are working hard. That's called care. Someone else said, it seems like more women are supporting their lazy men. Not hating or anything, but I know way too many bummy men that don't have jobs and depend on their ladies to support them. Yeah, but I know the reverse too. I know just as many women that don't want to work and they depend on the man, the person who has the penis and the family to go do it. So it kind of goes both ways, right? It's probably most inspiring when both parties are actively attempting to contribute financially and in terms of emotional labor, financial labor. So I think it's becoming more normal for a man and woman to split the bill because women are being empowered to work more and make their own money. So there isn't any real reason for men to pay for everything unless they genuinely want to. And that's kind of what it was. Men paying for everything was born out of the fact that women weren't working and they weren't supported in generating income. And now that it's possible for everyone, that isn't needed anymore. So I'm a fan of that. Not every man makes more money than the female, and in which case the female should pay for everything if the man's a lower income generator. Someone else said, girls aren't being slut-shamed as much, thank God, and they aren't expected to be modest. So they're playing the field more, and it's normal for them to date multiple people at once and not looking for husbands. Yeah, some people are like, oh, the marriage rate has declined. Yeah, that's okay. Because of what you just said, people don't feel like they need marriage, or people are taking their time, or people are busy focused on other things. And so I agree with you. Women aren't feeling as though they need a man, and so they're dating multiple people and they're taking their time. That's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Someone else said men are not expected to be the sole supporters of the household anymore, so it's now more of an even split. Yeah, as it should be. Someone else said, in my opinion, traditional gender roles in a relationship meant between a man and a woman, but we've progressed. So now when I see that phrase, I think of all types of relationships, gay, lesbian. So it makes me wonder what traditional roles means to same-sex couples. How do they decide who does what? That's the thing, is they don't. Like the traditional roles of man doing this and female doing that is very heteronormative. And people that are live outside of that don't feel bound by that. And so it's a healthier model of whoever makes more pays more. You know, we pay what we can and there's an expectation and we kind of talk out who wants to do what. It's more egalitarian. And I love that. And I think opposite gendered couples could learn a lot from that as well. Someone said most guys are better cooks than their girls these days. Cool. Then do more cooking. Someone else said, sometimes my girlfriend takes me out on dates and pays for it and I effing love it. Right? I always talk to my brothers about this, and we in unison all agree that none of us want to date anyone or be in a relationship with anyone who expects things based on anything, gender especially, and they want it to be more of a discussion. And all the, you know, me and my brothers always talk about how we love when another person, the person we're dating, wants to pay for something. We feel complimented. We feel desired. Everyone wants to feel desired, and that's great. So I advocate for everyone doing that. Someone else said, I see more and more active fathers in society who play a bigger role in the child's life than the mother. Stay-at-home moms definitely still exist, but dads are coming through with the childcare, right? As they should. I love that. Someone else said, it's more normalized for girls to ask guys on dates. Still not very typical, but it does happen where I feel like the world, it wouldn't have happened 50 years ago, right? And I love that because if as someone who's female identified feels as though you have to sit and wait for someone to ask you out, that knocks down the possibilities. You might be waiting for a long time. Not every person that's male is assertive and aggressive and feels confident in that way. So I love that people are, you know, again, as I said earlier, people that are single, sometimes they keep themselves single. And if you're interested in someone and you want to date, get out there and ask people out, regardless of your gender, right? So I love that. Someone else said, much more shared responsibility for parenting. Great. Someone said, chivalry died. Thank God. Someone else said, I don't know. I'm gay. Someone said, in our household, I'm the moneymaker, and my husband is the chef and homekeeper. Yo, I'll take a chef anytime. I don't care what their gender is. Chivalry's dead. I'm okay with that. A lot of etiquette is really, really, really trapped, again, in problematic gender norms. The idea that, you know, certain people are disempowered and whatnot, and so I'm okay with that. All right, coming up next, we're going to be sliding back in those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and Radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Woohoo! DMs. I'm having fun with this intro.
Sliding into the DMs.
Oh, I was told to have fun with the intro. That's the best I got. Woohoo! Intro. Y'all love a good intro. This is me having fun with the intro. Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Oh, God, y'all. It's Thursday. Thursday is my Friday. I love hanging out with y'all. I'm ready to get my weekend started. But you know, before I do, I'm going to drop some gems on you. So let's do it. Hey, Dr. D, my boyfriend of a year and a half recently told me he needs space. We usually talk throughout the day. He says he wants limited communication. We're long distance, starting again this school year, about 2 hours. I want to work things out with him, but I can't seem to stop obsessing over whether or not he will break up after this space, about a week, is over. Does space usually mean it's just softening the blow of an imminent breakup? How do I prevent this breakup from happening? Yeah, it usually does. That's the unfortunate thing. Usually it's a way of someone working their way out, testing the water, seeing what it's like to not have you around. It's not generally the best sign. It could be, but usually it's a sign that it's an imminent breakup coming. How do you prevent it? You don't. I don't really know what the issues are that might be creating the problem, but definitely honor the space. Someone says they need space, honor that. The worst thing you can do is keep interjecting yourself into and forcing your way back in when they've asked for some time apart. So the best thing you can do is give the space. But yeah, it's really possible. Yeah, that's that. It's rough. There it is. All right. Hey, Dr. Chris, long story short. Oh, I like when we keep them short. I caught my husband cheating. Oof. With a work colleague, 6 months and left. I caught my husband cheating with a work colleague, 6 months and left. Okay. Overall, I'm doing very well since leaving. But the thing that stings the most is that he manipulated the story to make it out that the affair was a joke and I'm just psycho and crazy. He won't admit to it and has turned the story around to say I wasn't happy and made up his cheating to leave. How do you deal with being made out to be a villain? Let it go. Don't worry about how he's making you out. Don't worry about who he's telling. Move on with your life. you're still staying in the relationship, keeping yourself trapped psychologically if you're trying to battle this out. People get too hung up on landing on the same page, having the same story straight, how the person sees them. Let it go. He cheated on you. You left. Move on. Stare in the direction of the future. You know, start dating people. Focus on your friends. Focus on whatever hobbies you want, but move forward, let it go. These are the kind of things that just keep you trapped. Shake it off. Sorry that happened, but yeah, let it go. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. So our show is podcasted. We are channelq.com, so you can go back, listen to them all, binge them. We'll be back Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And those that are going to the Life is Beautiful event this weekend in Vegas, have an awesome, awesome time. Focus on some self-care, because that's definitely what I'm going to be doing. So set like one or two or three goals. Self-care can be minor things, you know, a bath, some time apart, a walk, getting rid of a toxic relationship, you know, whatever you need to do. But set some self-care goals. That's always the goals we have for the weekend. I always have mine. But this weekend I'm going to be doing my reading and writing, cause I all told you that that's my self-care goal. So I'm holding myself accountable to that. A little less nightlife, a little more downtime, you know, but that's what's up. So you all set your goals. We'll check in on my next week. Again, I'll be back 7 PM Pacific Standard Time, 10 PM Eastern. As always, thanks for hanging out with me. You guys have an awesome night, and I'll see you on Monday.